I just want to pray for Craig. I think this is your second time preaching, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to pray for Craig. Yeah. Lord, we're actually praying for your word. Holy Spirit, would you speak through Craig, through his mind, through his mouth, Lord God. And Lord, Holy Spirit, would you anoint him? Mm-hmm. Would you anoint Craig with the bringing of your word? In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Just before I start, has anyone got a grey metallic BMW? Registration WMP517 GP. The back window is open. Okay, you know about it. Just the security brought it. Right, good morning, everyone. I think it's wonderful. You know, we've heard so many things this morning, and a lot of it has to do with growth. And that's part of our walk with Christ, is to grow. And if you want to grow, there's a saying that says you can't grow beyond your obedience. And all these things that we're talking about with money matters, and that is obedience. And your obedience is equivalent to your growth. And just before I start, you know, I thank Arthur and everyone for the prayers. And I just want to just say how awesome and powerful prayer is. You know, Jesus prayed, and it gave him power. And just quickly, I want to just touch on a testimony. Thor and I were privileged to go away last weekend. We went to Hole in the Wall. Beautiful place. Mark and them have been there in the Ultron sky. And we left a little bit early because there was a big windstorm coming up, as we know. And like we all do, and I hope we all do, is we prayed before we left. And prayer is an important part that we need to establish in our lives. And we were driving home, and you know, we prayed and we prayed for traveling mercies. We asked for God's protection, and we asked him to bring us home safely. And we leave it with God, and we forget about it. But God doesn't forget about it. And we were traveling home, and we had to take a detour because there was a big traffic jam by the cement factory. So we went round, and just before the stop street that you turn down to my house, there's a stop street that comes just before the street in my house. And as I came, Thora happened to talk to me, and as I turned to look at Thora, I saw this car coming, and I just slammed on brakes and swerved, and this car must have been doing over 60 kilometers an hour, just came right and managed to swerve and go around us and shot through the stop street. And the Lord was with us, and he protected us. And I tell you, it was amazing, because a split second later, and we would have been taken out. So God is good. You know, the enemy is there, and he wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy from us. But thank God, he protects us. He's with us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you know, the word says he's delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. So we've got everything. But there's something that we need to work out. There's something that we need to do. And in this walk that we go on with God, we need to be moving. We need to be walking. We need to be growing. We need to be adding to ourselves the character of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I just want you to listen and see where you are, because what I'm bringing is also a self-check to see where you are. And be honest with yourself, because it's important sometimes to evaluate ourselves and see how are we doing. Where am I with my walk? You know? And we've got this wonderful relationship that we have with the Father and with the Son. And he's given us this inheritance, which is this awesome kingdom which we have available to us. The kingdom of God and the power of everything that he has, we can bring it here and we can use it to change people's lives. But not only to change others' lives, to change our own lives. Paul reminds us that we are in a race. We are running. How are you doing? How's your run doing? In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? We're all running. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown." Those that we see, the comrades was just the other day. "But we run for an imperishable crown, an everlasting crown." Amen. Wonderful news. And Paul says, Paul was a driven man. He was driven. He says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." You see, Paul knew where he was going. He was looking in the right direction. He was running a race, and he was persevering through this race. And then he goes on to say, when he encourages Timothy, he says, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." So Paul joyfully anticipated receiving the victory crown from the King in heaven. And sometimes we've got to remind ourselves what this race is all about. And there's many things and many aspects of our Christian walk, but we need to keep focused. And sometimes we just need to regroup. We need to just get our minds right. And we need to remind ourselves where we are. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, this is written about Christ. We were also encouraged. Paul's writing to the Hebrews. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight." Okay, now I'm going to be speaking to you throughout for a while. I want you just to look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus and just take an account of where you are. Because I think some of us are under a heavy weight. It says, "Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." See, we as Christians have been given everything, but sometimes we allow ourselves to get into a place where we take on weights, where we allow sin to cling on to us. It says, "And let us run with endurance." Endurance, perseverance, but we need to be focused. We need to know where we're going. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. And I'm going to touch on that sometimes because I think some of us are maybe looking in the wrong direction. Sometimes we get caught up looking at something else and we get so intensely focused on that that it leads us astray. So this morning I'm going to focus us back onto Jesus. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross for me and you. How's your walk? Is it filled with joy or is it filled with fear? Are you worried where you're going? Have you lost a bit of your way? Have you allowed the enemy to come and steal and rob from you? Maybe you've taken your eyes off Jesus. Despising the shame, he endured the cross and is seated at the right hand of the throne. So I'm going to exhort us this morning. The message is about being serious seekers. And I want us, sometimes we've got this binoculars. And today I want us to cleanse those lenses. Maybe, our binoculars have got a little bit dirty, a little bit hazy. Maybe they're a little bit out of focus, as we've been walking and enduring and there's so much happening to us and there's fires going on and we need to be praying for them. But there's sometimes fires going on in our own lives. And sometimes our binoculars have got out of focus and sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. But this morning, let's cleanse them. Let's focus them. Let's get them back onto Jesus, okay? Because he is the way. We are exhorted to be serious seekers. I tell you, sometimes we just walk and we're casual. We can be casual inquirers. We can come here and we can casually listen to the message. We can casually hear about offerings. We can casually listen to the messages. We can casually sort of hear about this wonderful psalmody course that we're having and pray, and we can casually carry on walking. Our binoculars are out of focus. They're looking in the wrong direction. We need to become serious seekers in order to grow. We all need to be growing. We need to be moving on. Isn't that one of our purposes? It says in Galatians 4:9, my little children, this is Paul again. Paul's wonderful. He was full of zeal, full of enthusiasm. You know, I heard one person say he was, you know, probably this Jew with, you know, he had like boned legs and he had this big nose, but he was filled with zeal and he was filled with passion and he changed lives. And I promise you, towns feared him when Paul was coming in there because he said he's coming to sort us out because he had zeal, he had passion. He knew he was focused. He was a serious seeker. And he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. A serious seeker. How do we do that? We need to be growing. We need to be moving. We need to be putting off the things that don't matter. Stop looking in the wrong directions. And we need to focus back on Jesus. And we need to start adding to ourselves so that we can grow. So that Christ can start to be formed and fashioned more and more in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't this an amazing thing? This wonderful Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down, who's got all authority and power, has been formed and fashioned in us. It says to us has been given the divine nature to be partakers of it. We can be partakers of a godly nature. Almost as the word says, Christians is gods, many gods. We're not Jesus Christ, but we have the power and authority of God dwelling and living within us. Luke 6:40 says, a disciple, we are following, and we need to be moving, but we are following Jesus Christ. We are setting our eyes on him, and we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he's our teacher. And it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained, will be like his teacher. Who wants to be like Jesus Christ? We all want him formed and fashioned in. But we need to be trained. How do we get trained? We focus on Jesus. Is Jesus your teacher or is something else teaching you? You know, there's things that help us, but at the end of the day, he's our teacher. We cling to him. We follow him. And when we are fully trained, we will be like our teacher. Wonderful. Once again, it says, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. The serious seekers are taking notes. The casual inquirers will come next week and take notes because they'll be serious seekers next week. I really encourage you, take notes or get a hold of the teachings because we are training. We are equipping. We are moving. We are growing. We're not sitting still. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. Not to sit around, not to hear a good message, but to go out and do the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I tell you what, this is what it's all about. The more we know about Jesus, the more excited we get. The more we get hold of him, the more knowledge we attain, the more zeal, the more passion, the more drive, the more focused we become. And it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. You and I are going somewhere. We are being equipped. We are being trained up to be a perfect man. To the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ, set your binoculars on Christ. And just one more key before I move on. So how do you become more like him? 1 John 3:2-3 says, beloved, Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, when Christ is revealed, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. I tell you what, we need to lay hold of some of these hopes, because sometimes we don't have hope. Sometimes we're not laying hold of something, so we don't have direction. We don't have focus. We need to sometimes get focus in our lives. What are we doing? We are being perfected. We are becoming into we are growing in Christ. And it says we will be just like Him. Why? For we shall see Him. When we see Jesus in His fullness, when He comes, we will be just like Him. That's what the word says. Paul says, John says, I don't know what we will be like, but I do know that we will be just like Him because we will see Him. So our journey now is the more we see Christ and the more He's revealed to us, the more we become like Him. And we can get caught up in His ways and take our eyes off Him. But if we want to grow and be like Him, we need to see Him. We need to see more of Him. We need to be pressing into Him. So I'm going to help us this morning to become a serious seeker, to cleanse those lenses, to focus our binoculars, and to aim them in the right direction. Which brings me to a story about birders. Do you know birders? We've got two serious birders here. We've one very serious one over there, Josh, and Mark. Hey, Mark. I don't know if you're a serious birder, but you enjoy birding. But we went on a holiday to Hole in the Wall with a very good friend. And he's a very driven person, and he's got his own business. He's a loss adjuster, and he's the president of the Loss Adjusting Association of South Africa. Very driven guy, very intelligent guy, but he's got a passion. He's got a passion for birds. I don't know if any of you have been in the Kruger National Park, or maybe in Pilansburg, and you're driving along and you're looking for animals and you're looking for the big five, and you come and you see this car, and this car's in front of you, and you stop behind this car and you see them, they got these binocs out and they're focused and they're looking, and you look behind and you see where the binoculars are facing, and you look and you can't see a lion or maybe an elephant or a leopard, and you're looking and you're saying, I can't see this big five that I'm looking for. Maybe there's a rhino, and you sit there for 15 minutes and you can't see anything, and you drive up next to them and they open the window and you say, what are you looking at? And then they point to this little bird sitting on top of the tree. This little bird. And you say, oh, seriously? Are you looking at the bird? You've been sitting here for 15 minutes looking at a bird? But I tell you, birders are passionate. They're serious. They're driven. And He was sitting opposite me, and usually how the conversation goes is he tells me about birds, and I tell him about Jesus Christ, and we got this agreement. He tells me about birds, and I sit and I listen about his boring birds, but then I get an opportunity, yes, to listen to Jesus Christ. So we got this wonderful understanding. So we were sitting there on our first night, and I said to him, so Stephen, what's news? He says, no, you won't believe it. He says, the Birders Association, we booked out the MSC Sinfonia. Now, this is a huge ship. It's a cruise ship. It's got 11 decks. Okay. It's a city. They booked out this ship to go and look for birds. So he's telling me the story, and he said, and we got onto the ship, and we had our binocs, and you know, we had them around our on us all the time, around our necks, and we went out to sea. And I said, well, that's nice, Stephen. And he says, and I said, how was it? He says, no, he says it was amazing. And I started to listen to him. And he spoke passionately. He spoke with zeal. And he said to me, let me tell you something. He said, I saw an albatross. I said, okay, an albatross. He says, let me tell you about this albatross. He says, it's the most endangered family of birds in the world at the moment. He says, this albatross is 3.5 meters long. That's probably as wide as this stage. It's wingspan. an albatross, started telling me this story. I said, wow, you know, I started to get interested. He said, this albatross is an amazing bird. Now, you don't always see it, you see, and I'll get to that. But he says, this albatross, when it is 9 or 10 months old, it takes off and it goes out to sea. It's a seabird. And it spends 5 years out at sea, never coming to land. 5 years it goes out at sea. It can glide without moving its wings for 2 to 3 days without flapping its wind. It gets drafts that come off the ocean, and it just sits there because it doesn't get much food. It feeds off squids and that, and it can fly for 3 to 4 days without moving its wings. It just moves its tail and its head. And I started getting interested in this bird. He says it's got two stomachs, this bird. So when after 5 years it goes out to sea. By the way, this bird can sleep whilst it flies. It switches off half its brain. Josh, did you know that? It switches off half its brain and it sleeps whilst it flies because it's spending 5 years out at sea. Then it comes back to land maybe 5 years later to the same place it was born. And I'm going somewhere with this point. This isn't a birding conference. We are going to get back to the point. And it practices to build a nest. Then it goes off again. It comes back, it finds a mate, it builds a nest, and then it goes, it flies 4,000 miles because it's in remote areas, up to 4,000 miles, and brings food back to this bird. So this was amazing. He actually got me interested. You see, he was passionate about something. He was passionate about this bird. He had studied this bird. He had looked up this bird. In fact, they had a specialist on the boat who did a talk on this bird, and he went to it. You see, he went to find information about it. And he gave me information that you can ask Thora. I actually, in that evening, I went back to my room and I actually Googled up the great albatross. And I just related it back to our journey with Jesus Christ. Are we so focused and so driven that we know everything about Jesus Christ that we will passionately go out on this boat or we'll go wherever it takes so we can tell people about Jesus Christ, that it will stir them up so much that they will go and seek him for themselves. That they will go and study him. Because that's what he did for me. He was passionate. He was enthusiastic. He told me this information. He told me facts about this albatross that amazed me. And I related it back to my story. I went to the room and I said, we need to be as passionate as that about Jesus Christ. Can you tell people everything they need to know about Jesus Christ? You know, Tyron Daniel mentioned something which really touched me. He says, John the Baptist came and he was baptizing, but he was waiting for someone. He was waiting for somebody greater than he was. And when he saw, he was standing with his disciples and they were following him. And when he saw Jesus Christ, he looked, and his disciples were standing with him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And I don't think that's all he said, because the word only says he said, behold, the Lamb of God. But I think he told these disciples about Jesus, because he knew who Jesus was. He knew that this guy was so great that I'm not even worthy to loosen his sandals. He says, you know, I come baptizing with water. He's going to come baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he told his disciples, and he said, Jesus walked and he said, behold, Jesus Christ. Guess what his disciples did? They left him and they followed Jesus. They followed after Jesus. You see, John the Baptist was looking in the right direction. He was focused on Jesus. He wasn't looking at anything else except Jesus Christ. That when he spoke about Jesus, when he looked at him and he had so much passion and he had so much love and he had so much value in that man, he said, behold the Lamb of God, that had convinced two of his disciples to leave him and follow after Jesus. Is Jesus so formed and fashioned in you that you can give people that kind of life, that you can give him that kind of hope, that somebody when comes and hears your story, that you can say, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that has done everything for me. Let me tell you about this guy, that they will leave there and they will go and follow Jesus. You see, we need to have our binoculars focused. We've got to work. We've got to be walking and we've got to be growing. Because that only comes through growth. It only comes from adding to who you are. Which comes back to the birders. So why does Stephen do this? Why do these birders go to so far lengths? You see, they've got purpose. They've got purpose. And sometimes we lose purpose in our lives. We forget the purpose that we're here. We forget the purpose that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. We forget the purpose of our walk here with him. We are walking with him. Not sitting and standing, we're walking. You see, there's 990 different bird species in the southern hemisphere. 990. And a good birder will want to perfect himself. He'll want to find all those birds. No one's ever achieved it. We'll also never achieve complete perfection. But we go on. We go on adding. We go on searching. We go on growing. So these 990 bird species, what they'll do in a good year, they'll maybe see 450 of them. So they'll tick off. That's called life sites. Life sites. Jesus Christ is our life site. So they'll go and they'll tick off these birds, 450. But they'll want to grow. See, they'll want to add to their list. They'll want to extend it. They'll want to better it. They've got purpose. How about you? You know, they'll go to great lengths to see these great albatross, the Tristan albatross, and all these other fancy birds so they can tick it off. Some of them go up to 600, and it's called a life site. So what you can do is you can see the same birds the same time, you tick them off, but you tick off new ones. I tell you, we get so caught up just ticking off the same areas of our lives with Jesus that we forget to move on and tick the new life sites of Jesus in our own lives. So we get caught up, you see. I walk with Jesus and I come to church and I do this and our life sites maybe say I walk with Jesus is 990. We tick off maybe 400 in a year. How are you growing it? We ought to move on to grow into perfection. We need to go on and add new life sites. You know, the word says to us in 2 Peter 1, 5-8, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Add, grow, add, move on. Add to your faith, virtue. Have you settled at faith or have you moved on? See, like these birders who seek, they've got purpose. Have you lost a little bit of purpose? Virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, self-control. To your self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. You see, we've got to grow. We've got to tick off these areas in our life. These birders, they keep records. Are you keeping record? Or are you just sort of just wandering around aimlessly, just looking at, yeah? Or do you know where you need to look? Do you need to know where you've got to look in Jesus Christ? In this area in my life, I haven't added this thing to my life yet, so I need to look into Jesus Christ. I need to focus on him so I can add that, so that I can grow, so I can develop, so I can mature in Jesus Christ. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we want to know Jesus Christ. We want to know the fullness of him. So we've got to be adding to our lives. And one of my questions is, again, have you just added a few things of Jesus? Is there just a few characteristics that are you living out? Or do you need to maybe boldly step out into new areas so that you can grow with Jesus? Areas that you haven't been with him. You see, these birders, this HSC Sinfonia, it's a cruise ship. What they do is they got these satellites and navigations and GPS, and they follow all the calm seas. These birders, they go into the rough seas. They say, if it's rough over there, go there. And they're sitting there, and it's rough. It's uncomfortable. It's in areas that the ships aren't supposed to go in. But you see, that's where the birds are. That's where their life is. And sometimes we just sort of settle. Oh, I'm cruising. Cruise ship. Yeah. it's rough over there. Yeah, but Jesus is there. You're going to go there. You're going to go and you're going to pray. You're going to go to on a psalmody course. You know, that's it's uncomfortable. Wednesday evening, that's my soup day. It's a good program on TV. No, we're not growing. We're settling. Maybe it's time to say, time I step out. It's time I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable. Time I got to know Jesus more and more and started adding his character to me. Maybe you feel you're standing still. You've settled. Well, I'm going to encourage us and challenge us to step out. Let's start moving. Let's start growing. And it reminds me of a story that's been quite close to me lately that I shared at my dad's memorial. But it's a story that's been speaking to me. I'm going to share a little bit on it. It's going to help you move on, and maybe you're going to identify areas in your life which maybe you've settled. Maybe you're just ticking off those same little lifeless that Jesus already perfected in you. You know, they're not lifeless anymore. They're just ticks. You ask a birder, they don't look after those ticks anymore. Oh, there's a fork-tailed dronga. Oh, I've seen it, you know. I want to see new sights. You know what? We need to step out with Jesus and find these new life sights, new experiences with Jesus. Let's grow with him. I tell you, it's an adventure. Walking with Jesus is an amazing adventure. So let me just read the story of the pool of Bethesda. It's in John 5 from 1 to 15. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, is a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people. Sick people. We've got to evaluate ourselves. Are there areas where we're sick? In our walk with Jesus, maybe. Blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. So Jesus saw this guy lying there, 38 years, he'd been coming to the pool of Bethesda many years, but he had this infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I'll get to that. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming down, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. We were praying this morning, and that word suddenly came up. Suddenly. Just looked at Jesus. Jesus says, suddenly, he's made well. He's healed. Took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Can you believe it? What men say to us, what people try and convince us." He answered them, "He who had made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they said to him, who is the man that said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?' But the one who is healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So I just want to dwell on the story for 5 minutes. Let's picture it. He has this guy. He's got this infirmity. And there's guys that are lame and sick and paralyzed, and he's got this mat. And he comes to this pool of Bethesda, and he sits on his mat. And he's so focused on this pool that gets stirred, because there's an angel that he's going to get his healing there. And I want to ask us, how many of us are so focused on something other than Jesus? We focused on our breakthrough. Maybe we think, just if I got a new job, I'm going to be okay. Or maybe I'm going to win the lotto ticket. There's a lot of people say, when I win the lotto ticket, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be healed. You know, and if this job comes through, or if my bank account, you know, comes in out of the red, then I'm going to be okay. And we're so focused on the wrong things. You know, if I find the right church, or if only if I have this breakthrough, or, you know, if my husband becomes a believer, or, you know, this person that I'm speaking to, or this situation or circumstance, or if my children would just do this, then things are going to be right. And we focused on the wrong things. How many of us in our walk with Jesus are focused on the wrong things? You know, maybe we focused and we're looking, and you need to see what is your pool that you're looking at, that you're not focused on. And this guy is sitting on this mat, and, you know, and he's just saying, oh, you know, here I'm coming. And, you know, but that person, he's got his healing. And he's the lucky one. You know, I've missed my break. Everyone else gets the break. Here I am sitting here, and he gets into the pool, and he gets healed. What about me? You know, I'll come back tomorrow. And then Jesus comes up to him. Jesus Christ, who can give us everything. And he comes up to him and he says, do you want to be made well? And I don't know how many times Jesus comes up to us in situations and circumstances, and we're so focused on the problem. We're so focused on getting through this. You know, we're saying, you know, I'm gonna pray more because people got healed. You know, there's an angel there, and we said, I'm gonna pray more, and I'm gonna do this more, and I'm gonna read more, and yes, and I'm gonna do these things. But we focused on the things of Jesus, and we're looking at the works, we're looking at the wrong things. We focused on that, and then Jesus comes up to him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" And sometimes we don't even hear him because we're so focused on the wrong thing. Our binocs are set on the same old life things that we've forgotten. The real person of Jesus. You know, and Jesus says to him, do you want to get made well? You know, sometimes we got these mats that we sit on. We get comfortable on our mats. We get so comfortable sitting there on this mat because it's become comfortable to me. And maybe, you know, maybe if I get off my mat, I actually have to do something. So, you know, do I want to be healed? Maybe I've got comfortable just sitting on this mat. And maybe it's convenient for me because now, you know, if I have to get up now and I actually got to do something, I actually have to be responsible. You know, I have to now start saying, I don't have an excuse anymore. Sometimes our mat can be our excuse. Now, why are you not moving with Jesus? Oh, you know what? I'm so busy. Oh, this mat of mine is, you know, that's my mat. I'm busy. Now, why aren't you coming to the courses? Oh, you know, Wednesdays is my, I do this, you know, comfortable. You know, but that's going to help me. See, focused on the wrong thing. This mat can become comfortable to us. Maybe you're sitting on a mat and it's become a little bit comfortable for you. See, Jesus says, do you want to get healed? And we sometimes got to take our eyes off that situation, that circumstance that we've been so focused on, and move it on to Jesus. The healer. The true person that brings us hope, the true person that brings us liberty, that sets us free, that heals us. He looks at Jesus and Jesus says, get up, walk, take that mat. Stop using that mat anymore. It's not going to be your comfort anymore. I'm going to be your comfort. And he gets up. You see, sometimes we got to get up. Sometimes we're so busy sitting in this Christianity of ours that we actually got to get up. And what did he do? He got up and he put the mat under his arm and he walked. And that mat that was his comfort, that was his crutch, that was his thing that was holding back, became his testimony. He walked through the crowd and it was his testimony. And they said, who healed you? And he still didn't know who it was. You see, sometimes we receive our healing and we do focus on Jesus. And sometimes we do get this healing, but then we forget Jesus again. Not sure where our healing came from. We forgot that he was our helper. You know, he's the one that really wants to reveal himself to us. And sometimes Jesus comes again to us and he reveals himself again. You know, like the blind man who healed the eyes. You know, what do you see? He wasn't fully healed. I see trees like tall men walking. And then Jesus laid his hands again on him and he saw. And sometimes we've got to go to Jesus again. But what did Jesus do? He came and found him. Isn't that amazing? He didn't go and look for Jesus. Jesus came and found him. Jesus is always looking for us. Jesus is always there. We just sometimes look in the wrong place. We've got caught up in these pressures of life that has focused us on, this is my breakthrough. This is what I need. You know, when this comes, everything's going to be okay. No, it's Jesus. Seek Jesus. Set your sight on Jesus. Jesus is our answer, and suddenly things will come right. Suddenly everything works out, and then Jesus comes again to you. He finds you in the crowd. You know, when your mind's going ablaze and your mind, suddenly Jesus finds you, and he says to this layman, I'm Jesus Christ. And he realizes, this is where my healing came from. So once again, I'm asking you, how are you doing? Have you maybe just got into that place where you're sitting on your mat, sitting in your comfort zone, happy just to sit where I am? Or do you want Christ to be formed and fashioned in your life? I just want to touch on a quick story and then 4 points, which hopefully will help you, and maybe we can help you through. You see, I was seriously seeking one night, many years ago, when I was still a young Christian. Hopefully I'm growing and I'm moving and I'm moving on. And I was sitting in my prayer corner. I got a prayer corner that I like to sit in, and I was praying. I was spending time with Jesus, and I said, I want to grow. I want to move on. But there's things that are hindering me, Lord. And, you know, what is it? Can you help me? And Thora had gone to bed, and it was a storm. It was a stormy night, and the wind was blowing, and the leaves were blowing, and it was pouring with rain, and there was lightning, and there was thunder outside. And I was sitting in my chair, and I heard God say to me, go stand outside in the rain in your underpants. You see, God was dealing with me. I was sitting on my mat there, you know, and I wasn't sure, you know, that can't really be from God. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, go outside, strip yourself out, go stand in that rain in your underpants. So I was obedient. You see, sometimes Jesus says, get up. But sometimes we say, whoa, I'm comfortable here inside this warm room. I must go outside where it's uncomfortable, where it's stormy, where it's raining. I must go out there. Well, you see, Jesus wants to reveal himself to me. Got to see more of him. So I went outside in my underpants. And I stood outside there. It was pouring rain and there was lightning. And I stood out there and I said, okay, Lord, you're going to change me. Maybe I'm going to lift up off this earth or something's going to happen. And I stood out there and it was freezing cold and the rain was coming, the lightning was coming. And these thoughts were going through my head. And I went inside. And I dried myself off and I wasn't sure what that was all about. And then the next day, I was driving in my car, and I felt the Holy Spirit talking to me, and he said, what happened? So I said, well, I went outside. He said, and obviously just, you know, when you feel the impression of the Holy Spirit, wasn't talking to me, just this feeling that you have when you spend time with God. He says, why did you come inside? So I said, well, one, I was standing there, and there was lightning, and I was scared that the lightning was going to strike me. You see, focused on the wrong thing. I was focused on the lightning. I was focused on the rain. And he said, you don't have faith. You don't have enough faith. Is God not in control of everything? If he told you to go outside, would he not keep the lightning from striking you? Focus on me. So the first thing is faith. How's your faith today? Have you forgotten that Christ is in charge of everything and in control of everything in your life? Or are you looking at the situations and the circumstances and you've forgotten that he's the God of faith who can control everything in your life? So that was the first lesson, is faith. He said, and what else? Why you came in? That wasn't the only thing. I said, yes, I was standing there and it was the lightning and I was, I didn't have faith that you could take the lightning. He said the same thing and I said, I was thinking of Thora coming to the window and looking out and screaming at me and saying, you crazy man, you know, what are you doing standing out in the rain in your underpants? What are you doing? And he said, fear of man. He focused on what man is going to say, what man thinks, instead of me. What do I think? I was worried that Thora was going to come and scream at me when I'm having a time with God. Supposed to be focused on him. How many of us are so focused on what man is saying, what man is convincing us? Like, you know, if I talk at work, man's going to laugh at me. You know, man's going to convince us. You know, Jesus said, go out and don't give ear to anyone. I've given you a mission. Don't give ear. Be careful who you give ear to. Don't have the fear of man. So faith, how's your faith? Two, how's your focus? Are you focused on man or are you focused on God? And he said, what else? What else? And I said, this is very unfamiliar to me. I said, I'm standing outside in my underpants and it was uncomfortable. He says, if you want to see more of me, you need to go into unfamiliar grounds. Like Abraham, not knowing where you're going. How often are you going into unfamiliar territory where it stirs you up, where you're afraid of the situation, but you're secure in God? So the third thing was to follow Jesus into all areas. Are you following Jesus into every area of your life, into every situation and circumstance? And the fourth thing that he revealed to me, he said, what happened? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I was there like, I don't know how long, 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And I just felt it was long enough. He says, you need to endure. You need to endure through the things that I put you in. You need to finish what I've given you to do. How often do we go on because we're running this race and we're going to finish what God has given to us? How long do we not endure what God has given us? You know, it was funny, we heard a talk the other day where Paul, you know how Paul encouraged he establishes a church and then he encourages them and he says, through many hardships and trials, you will grow in the faith. He didn't say, hey, sit at home, you know, take it easy. You know, when you go, he says, through many trials and tribulations, you will grow. And we need to patiently endure because it perfects us. So the fourth one was, I needed to finish, I needed to endure. You see, when we run a race, it's small steps, but we have to endure. So I hope that's encouraged you. I hope it's shone a light on you. I hope it's helped you refocus your lens and your binoculars onto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And if you are struggling in any of those areas, if you've forgotten to have faith in God, you're looking at the wrong areas and not knowing that he's in control of everything, maybe we need to pray about it. If you focused on the wrong things, if you've got a fear of man and you're not preaching the gospel or you're not filling it up or you're not going where you're supposed to go because of what man thinks, we need to be praying for you. And the third thing, if you're not following where Jesus is telling you when he says get up and go, if you're not following after him wherever he takes you, we need to pray for you that you start to go wherever he calls you to go. In your workplaces, in your home, with your neighbors, we need to be following after Jesus. And the fifth thing is you need to finish, you need to endure. What God has given you, finish it. Endure. Through many trials and tribulations, you will be perfected and becoming to a perfect stature to the measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we pray for you? If you identify any of those areas, I'm going to pray now. And just open your heart to that area, because through prayer, we leave it with God and he meets with us. And keep your eyes open because he's going to meet you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your mighty power. We thank you that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you that we focus on you, Jesus Christ. And today, if our eyes have been anywhere else except on you, this morning we refocus. This morning we cleanse our lenses. This morning we focus, and this morning we set our binoculars on you. This morning we're going to become serious seekers. And Father, if we are battling in any of these areas that spoke to us this morning, that spoke into our hearts, that we know that where we are failing, where we are just conveniently and casually inquiring about you, we want to change it now this morning. We want to commit to you this morning. We want to say if our faith is lacking, and we are looking at situations and circumstances instead of you, who's in control of everything. Father, may you take that away. May we know that you are in control of everything, that we have our faith set in you. Father, if we have lost our focus and we're looking at man, and the fear of man is stopping us doing what we know we can achieve in you, help us through that. Let us rather be afraid of you than of man. Let us know that you are the one that promotes us. You are the one that gives us all things, not man. You alone. Father, if we haven't been following you in everything that we're doing, if we've been setting things aside, if we'll rather watch TV or we'll rather go to another place than follow after you, where your word is being preached, where we are being encouraged, where you are being revealed, may I put that right in my life and may I follow after you. And Father, may I have the endurance and the courage and the strength to finish this race. We pray this, Lord, may you work in our hearts this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you very much. Well done. So just a quick reminder that there's coffee and good cappuccinos up upstairs. If those who are visitors in particular, please join us. We've got some cake and a few other things as well. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful afternoon.